Hey guys, welcome back to the Tuesday episode of the Drop a Deuce Pod. Daniel Keenis, I am here with Frank Todd. Frank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Daniel. You know, I wish IU and Purdue were playing this weekend, and I already know we're going to get fucked by the college football playoff rankings later tonight. But, you know, other than that, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, we've talked about how biased the college football playoff rankings are. And while that's fine, I am still hoping that they have enough common sense in them to put IU into at least New Year's Six Bowl, so one of the other four outside of the college football playoff.
Our research department, aka me, has been looking into a lot of the website's predictions, and right now a lot of the sites like CBS, ESPN, Bleacher Report, 247 are all predicting us to be in the Fiesta Bowl against the USC, who is complete garbage, but I'll get into that later.
Well, I grew up a big USC fan. Both my sisters went there, but I think I will have to...
Both your sisters went to USC?
Yeah, the
I did not know that.
Yeah, the Southern California one, not the other one in South Carolina.
Well, yeah, that one doesn't count. That one doesn't exist.
That one doesn't exist. That's like SCU or like U of SC.
Yeah, something stupid. All right, but Daniel, I figure let's start off by talking about some of the games of the weekend because, you know, it was a very, very interesting weekend in college football. I mean, it started with one of the greatest beatdowns in probably the history of college football on Friday night when we had Arizona State just beat the living hell out of Arizona 70-7.
I was watching that game kind of confused about how, especially in a rivalry game, it can get so bad. Like the Arizona coach, Kevin Sumlin, got fired the next day because you can't lose by 63 to the rival up north. Like, that's not a thing.
Arizona turned the ball over 7 times, and that does not count their 4 turnover on downs. Arizona was losing so badly that I feel like Arizona State was putting so many backups in that they were just going to call us up to play. I mean, they were on their, like, 9th string running back, and he was still rushing for touchdowns because Arizona was just getting killed from start to finish.
I genuinely don't know how you lose a game that bad. It's like they were trying to lose. It's like they knew that their season was over, and they basically gave up.
Here's the thing. Arizona State could put up 90 if they didn't take their foot off the gas.
They slammed on the brakes. There were 2 times in the 4th quarter that they just kind of ran the ball 4 times. They're like, we're just not going to get hurt.
Yeah, they were just trying to get out of the weekend and get over this game because no one cared. And then the other night, game Friday night, that ended up being a big deal was San Jose State beat Nevada, which gets them to their Mountain West Championship game.
I predicted that. San Jose State is really good. They're undefeated. They're probably the best team in the Mountain West, which is very interesting considering Boise State's kind of had that crown for the better part of this century.
Boise State, yeah, they're having a tough year. If they had some bad COVID issues, now they're just getting killed. But they're still in the Mountain West Championship game.
Well, yeah, I mean, just lucky for them that BYU isn't in the Mountain West anymore, or else I don't know, that might be a good game.
So Boise State, San Jose State got canceled right this year. Boise State's still 5-1, with their only loss being the BYU. They're not a bad team. They're not as good as usual.
But that's saying that there are good teams in the Mountain West. They're an average team.
And then I think one of my favorite stories of the day, though, was how Florida lost the game. That was fucking hilarious.
I mean, that entire game was absolutely comical. Because
here's the thing. This should have been an OT game, and then that idiot threw a shoe. They lost the game because someone threw a shoe. Just let that sink in.
Or Florida should have won in regulation.
Well, true. But again, I'm just talking about the way this game ended up. They lost because someone threw a shoe, which I just think is the funniest way to lose a game.
I don't think Florida's known for having very wholesome individuals on their team outside of.
You mean like having Aaron Hernandez on a team?
I mean, I think it's hilarious that Aaron Hernandez was catching passes from Tim Tebow.
That team, we'll get into that in a later episode when we have nothing else to talk about in a couple months. But that team is one of the weirdest teams ever, if you look at it on paper.
The pure moral dilemma that I think Tim Tebow has now, that he had great wide receivers, but all of them were criminals. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
Oh yeah. But then I think another thing I liked yes on Saturday was the Miami beatdown. They got crushed.
I've
And it made me
always
so
thought that.
happy because I've been saying for weeks they're so overrated. This team should not be ranked. What are you doing? Should not be ranked top 10. What are you doing? And now they're finally going to fall below IU, hopefully fall below IU in the rankings, and all be right in the world.
I mean, I've always thought that North Carolina has been better than their record. They have played all of their teams really close, even though they didn't beat Notre Dame. That was still a close game. They have a great offense, and if their defense, has a half a brain, they can win the game.
All right, here's the question then. USC we'll get to in a minute. North Carolina and Northwestern, the three teams directly behind Indiana. North Carolina's a little further behind, but you know what I'm point I'm making. And Coastal Carolina all had good wins on Sunday or Saturday. Do they hop IU in the rankings?
I think IU moves to 10. So if any
So
of those,
you think they move up instead of getting the traditional punishment for not playing games?
well, I think you still improve your resume even though you didn't play, because two teams below you lost, Miami and Florida. I don't think Florida is going to be in the top 10 anymore,
I
because
don't think they should be in the top 10 anymore, but because of SEC bias, they will be.
I mean, yeah, there are four teams in the SEC in the top 10 last week. So we'll have to see. I
And
think
three of those teams shouldn't be there.
Iowa jumps.
I don't think I was going to jump us. They're just, that's not a, Wisconsin's a bad win. And you can't make it. I mean, again, if Iowa does jump a lot, then you know that the SEC, there's a bias towards Iowa since their chairman's on the committee of it. Or sorry, their AD is the committee, chairman of the committee, because they should not jump ahead of us for beating Wisconsin when we beat Wisconsin the week beforehand.
At Wisconsin.
Yeah. Now, I'm just happy to say that USC is still garbage. They barely beat a horrible UCLA team, and they had to score in the last minute. They've had to score in the last minute to
Every
win
game, three
three of
to
their five games. Three of their five games. So this is not a good team, and this is not a good program. They barely beat the Arizona team that just lost 70-7. How can you make a case for them to actually be a decent program? That's what I want to know.
I think they're going to be the best team in a Power Five conference, which is why you can put them into
All
the.
right, you want to hear a hot take?
Yeah, go for it.
The Pac-12 is worse than the American in football.
I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I
Top to
think.
bottom, top to bottom, they will win more games. Cincy will beat the doors off of USC.
Okay, yes, but then outside of that, there's
Oregon,
nobody.
Oregon's horrible this year. Tulsa's not bad. They're number two.
Okay, they're also playing other American teams. SMU got their ship rocked by East Carolina. East Carolina's a horrible football team.
Yeah. But I mean, again, look at the Pac-12 is only playing the Pac-12, and they're all horrible. Like, I think that, I mean, after this weekend, I think Arizona might be the worst Division I football team. That was embarrassing. ASU's looked horrible besides for that win. Cal and Washington State haven't looked good this year. No one's looked great in the Pac-12, and
Well,
you, I
they're
can
all
defend.
playing each other. They don't have the non-conference games to drop
But here's the
70
thing
on.
is. Yeah, they don't have their conference games look 70 on, but you can still look good against your shitty teams in your conference. Since he looks good beating up on all the bad American teams, like a East Carolina, like a UCF, who's used to be a powerhouse,
Well,
and then
they
they
didn't beat
played.
up on UCF. They beat them by 3. They shouldn't have
Well,
even
they beat
won
up.
that
I'm
game.
thinking they beat up the defense. USC hasn't really beat up on anyone. They had to go down the last second to beat Arizona, who just gave up 70 points. They just scored in the last second to beat Arizona State, who's also horrible and has one win, which is Arizona. They beat Utah by in a two possession game. Utah's not good, and then they beat the doors off of Washington State, who sucks.
Okay, Washington State's a really bad team. Utah just beat Colorado, and Colorado's a pretty damn good team.
I don't think Colorado's that good either. I just don't think there's any power Pac-12 team who I've watched this year and said, wow,
Well, it's
they're a
hard
good
to prove
team.
it. I believe the Pac-12 is more evenly matched than the American. The American's more top heavy. Obviously, Cincinnati's really good, and UCF.
Well, yeah, you're going to get that in there. It's more top heavy. But I mean, clearly, if you look at the bottom two teams in the Pac-12, there's also a big top heavy just because you have Arizona at the
I mean, who are the bottom? Let me look. Who are the bottom two teams?
Arizona, Cal, ASU, and Washington State are the bottom four.
Okay, what about okay, in the bottom four in the American are Tulane, East Carolina, Temple, and South Florida. And those are all disgusting teams. So you can't say
Arizona, I
American's
mean,
better.
I think that that's okay. If we did, the problem is how many teams are there even in the American?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11.
So it's 11 versus it's 11. So there's less teams. So that means you lose Arizona. I think that if you took the top three, just looking at the top, I think that Cincinnati kills USC. I think Tulsa probably loses a tight game to Oregon. Then after that, I don't think the third or fourth team in the Pac-12 wins. Because I think that UCF, I think that it's UCF and Memphis who I think have too much offense for them, honestly.
Yeah, Memphis has lost to SMU, Cincinnati, and Tulane.
But the
I'm not gonna
problem
say that
is,
they can't beat Oregon or they can't beat any
no.
team.
So it would be, they would be playing, I guess the third team would be UW, I think.
Yeah, and UW would destroy Memphis, and it would not be close.
I don't think UW has the offense to keep up with them. You gotta remember, some of these teams, again, okay, so just like we're throwing out teams in the American, we gotta throw out winning over Arizona. Arizona is horrible. I would take D1 teams out of football team to beat Arizona. They've given up 200 points in the short impact 12 season, which is embarrassing. Think about, they're averaging 40 points a game.
I mean, are you okay? Well, what about the Sun Belt? The Sun Belt has Coastal Carolina, who's a very good team, and Louisiana. Is there an argument that they could be better than the Pac-12 too, or maybe the
I
American?
think at the top, I mean, I think that top to bottom, I think at the top, the Sun Belt's better than the American, but I think the bottom and the rest, the Sun Belt's worse. That's the problem. I think the American's more average around than the Sun Belt.
Yeah, but like the American isn't even average, and the American is just below average, like all around. They're not a.
It's the same argument. Here's the thing is, if you look at the, let's look at some of the bottom teams here. And again, tell me why someone like USF is also horrible. We're gonna throw them out. ECU is horrible. These teams are horrible, but their Pac-12 is horrible. Playing against them is not a case for why they should be good because when was the last time a Pac-12 team has actually been good and actually been a national threat? It's been a while.
Oregon in 2014, 2013.
Yeah, that's 6 or 7 years. That's a long time for Power Five. We've had
UW
American
also
teams make.
got to the playoffs in 2017. USC won a really good Rose Bowl also in 2017. Stanford has always been
But
friends
again,
of
okay.
power.
Stanford hasn't been a power in a long time.
They've been a
They
power for
were
2 years.
early 2000s. They've been a downhill since everyone left. And that's not their fault. They just don't get that breakout star like Luck, McCaffrey, and all those guys anymore.
Whatever we should just
But okay,
get off the topic.
UCF was a actual playoff contender over any of those Pac-12 teams for years, and then
Again, because they
their
played
coach left.
nobody, because they're beating up on the ugly schedule.
UCF beat Auburn in a bowl game like two, was that 2 years ago or last year?
It was a couple of years ago, and then, well, they shouldn't even won that game. I don't. It's irrelevant. Talking about the past doesn't. It, that means nothing about the current, the present or future.
But that's the only reason teams like USC ever get ranked from the start of the year is because of their past. That's the whole reason that USC is even ranked right now is their past, because if they're a perennial powerhouse, or why they were ranked with 0 games played,
Are you saying that they
because of
shouldn't?
their
Are you
past.
saying they shouldn't be ranked now?
Not in the top 15. Nothing they've done has made me think they should be a top 15 team.
I mean,
Nothing they've
they
done.
win close games. Isn't that enough?
If you have to go to the last second to beat Arizona, who you just give up 70 points to the second worst team in the Pac-12
Arizona
record-wise,
had a ton of people out for COVID.
I'm sorry.
So yeah.
I've seen more impressive things from BYU, Northwestern, and UNC, who are all ranked below USC right now, than USC this year.
Whatever, let's just get off the topic. Moving on.
Well, hang on, you're a Northwestern guy.
Okay,
you're telling
Frank,
me
we're actually, we've been talking about this for 7 minutes. Let's move on.
Okay, what do you want to talk about now?
So is it, so let's see, we got NFL action. We had Monday Night Football.
Wait, let's talk about, we got to talk about Championship Weekend at least.
All right, let's go.
The fucking Ohio State, or not Ohio State, Iowa State game is huge.
True, so we got,
that's a,
we got Iowa State and was Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma's going to destroy Iowa State.
I don't think they're going to try them. I think that Oklahoma's good. I just don't think they're as good as they've been in the past. And I think that they are due for a big cool down. The thing about Oklahoma is they started the year bad with the loss. They already lost Iowa State by a touchdown earlier in the season. And then they kind of came back, slowly clawing their way back. And they're, I just think they're due for cool down. I don't think their QB is that good. And I think he's going to slow down big time against Iowa State again.
I think Spencer Rattler's really good.
I think he's okay. I just don't think, I mean, again, it's a problem for him is going to be he's a freshman, so he's still young and learning. And again, look at their last couple QBs. When you're coming into that program right now with Lincoln Riley, where he's had two of the last three number one overall picks, you're in some trouble.
Well, I think that's a testament to Lincoln Riley. I don't think that's a testament to the quarterbacks. I mean, obviously,
I'm saying it's a testament to Lincoln Riley, and it's big pressure on Rattler. And I just don't think he can live up to that hype this year is the problem.
I think he's
a freshman. He'll be good in 2 years we'll be having conversation him as good as guys. He's young, and I think that he's gonna struggle against them. I mean, or is that the first time?
He had a really okay, so are you saying that there's no pressure in playing in playing Texas in the Red River rivalry?
No, that's the first game. That's the thing, is that's when their season started to turn around. And why I think they're due for a cool down, because everyone has a bad game every once in a while. You can't keep playing. He can't keep playing this good forever. And that's what I think his issue is going to be.
I think people are talking about the same thing with Patrick Mahomes or with Trevor Lawrence or with Justin Fields. I'm not comparing them.
Even
Lawrence, that they don't
look,
cool down.
Even Lawrence and Fields have had bad games. That's the thing, is I'm just saying, I think he's due for a bad game.
Bad games against good teams. You don't have bad games against teams that are overranked. Very much,
but I think Iowa State's. I agree. Iowa State's are ranked. I don't think they're a bad team.
I think
he's playing two.
Oklahoma's a better team than Iowa State. Yes, they lost, but that doesn't mean much. And then, especially if you get a second chance, I think Oklahoma is going to destroy.
But the thing is about your bad game team comment. He looked. I mean, he had a good completion to. Sorry, what's the word I'm looking for? He had a good completion percentage on Saturday. He was 20-28, but I mean. Under 200 yards against a Baylor team is not that impressive. And again, I think that his problem is his last real good team he played was Texas. I think that Texas Tech is garbage. Kansas is Kansas. Oklahoma State is one of the most overrated teams in the country. And the fact that they were still ranked after that embarrassing TCU performance is a joke. And then Baylor is Baylor. They're not a powerhouse anymore without Matt Rhule.
I mean, what, Spencer Rattler has thrown for 2,500 yards and 24 touchdowns this year. That doesn't seem like he's having a bad year.
No, I don't think he's having a bad year. I just don't think he's as good as the quarterbacks they've had in the past. And when you're playing in a Big 12 title, you have a lot more pressure on you. And I think that that's going to get to him as a freshman. And that's nothing against him. It's freshmen can have bad performances in big games. We've seen it happen before.
I mean, or this is where he steps on the gas and where he's going to be an NFL quarterback here in a few years.
Yes. Yeah. But he's, again, I agree. But he's, I think that he'll come back next year and be fantastic. I just think that as a freshman, he might struggle then against a team who's already beat him.
But there's pressure playing someone once, there's not pressure playing someone another time.
I disagree with that. I think it depends on your performance. Like, for example, if Ohio State and IU rematched, I think Justin Fields would have a lot of pressure on him to not fuck up and throw three picks again.
No, I think it's the exact opposite. I think, okay, I've already played bad once. I can – or even you didn't even play bad. It's easier when you know what to look for. And that's the thing with with college football is that you have like that entire week to scheme and whatever. But when you already have the same game plan once and you get to go magically learn more and do it again, then it becomes a lot easier. You become more relaxed.
We'll see. I think there's arguments for both sides of that. But I mean, if you look at, like, let's say Clemson Notre Dame, who are playing this weekend, and a game that will eliminate Clemson from the playoff if they lose, Ian Book has a lot of pressure on him this weekend. Even though he already beat them, he has a lot of pressure to come back because, I mean, they only won by a touchdown in double OT without Lawrence, who's obviously the best quarterback in college football, playing. So I think Book has a lot of pressure to show up and play a good game to keep up with Lawrence, since he could barely keep up with, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name,
Uyunglele. So yeah. I don't agree with that completely. I agree there's pressure on Ian Book, but that's only because I think if you're college football is a team sport. It's not an individual performance. If you're not playing good, then the coach can bench you. But overall, there's pressure on Ian Book and there's pressure on Spencer Rattler to specifically win their games. It doesn't matter if they have to play well, as long as your defense plays well. There's 21 other people you have to rely on.
No, and I agree with that, but most of the time, the media, I mean, unless the defense gets absolutely torched and it's a blowout, the media likes to blame the QBs. So the eyes are always on the QBs.
And the QB is the most important position in the sport, but that doesn't mean that they're the sole reason that they win. I think that's the exact
opposite. No, I agree. But I think it's – my more point was that Ian Book, because of how the first game played out without Trevor Lawrence, Ian Book has pressure to keep up with Lawrence, because playing Clemson team with Uyunglele, I don't know, again, I can't say his name, versus Lawrence is completely different. Lawrence's presence on the field is completely different.
Ian Book is not playing Trevor Lawrence. Ian Book is playing the Clemson defense. And I would say Ian Book has the opportunity to prove himself and prove his draft stock. And while he was playing Clemson and he beat Clemson, Clemson's defense, there were two or three players out with COVID. So it's not on Ian Book to keep up with Trevor Lawrence. It doesn't matter whether Trevor Lawrence has a better game than him or not. It's about how his defense handles Trevor Lawrence, and if they can stop him and scheme against him. And Ian compared the same to the Clemson defense. I don't believe there's pressure.
See, but that's why I think he doesn't have pressure, because the Notre Dame defense is very good, and I think they have the chance to stop Lawrence. So, I mean, if you look at it, they don't give up a lot of points. Like, besides the Clemson game, their most points they gave up was the BC the next week, which is 30. Other than that, they've only given up over 20 points two other times, including holding multiple teams to single digits. Their defense is very good, which is why Book needs to have a good game to match it up. That's what
Clemson's
I'm saying.
He's going
to
win this game, but I'm going to be – I think if Ian Book keeps it close, so if he can put up some points – then I think Notre Dame's going to make it to the playoff regardless.
I agree. Other than that, I don't think there's really any other important – I mean, Notre Dame's in the playoff, they win no matter what. Clemson – in my opinion, Notre Dame's in the playoff no matter what. If you lose to Clemson, Trevor Lawrence,
you
got to
keep it close because you
ACC
can't
championship.
Lose by 30. And
I don't – the only reason I disagree with that is because Florida lost this weekend. If Florida hadn't lost LSU, I would agree with you. But other than that, I don't think there's room – I mean, barring shocking, like – earth-shattering upsets this weekend, I don't think there's any room for anyone to come and sneak in.
We're not on the board, so we can't necessarily make those predictions. But my main thing is that if this is a college football quarterfinal, let's just say, then if it's close, then it's 1-1 in the series. Okay, so both these teams won by a touchdown. Let's see who wins a third time. Compared to if Clemson beats the hell out of Notre Dame, you can't.
So can I ask you, sorry to interrupt, but can I ask you what beating the hell out of it is? Because I have my limit where I think Notre Dame can lose by and still get in. I'm just curious what you say that
21
as.
Points.
Okay, so I was thinking 17 gets them in. So yeah,
well, yeah, because
margin.
If you lose by a touchdown or two and there's a couple things, okay, maybe if it didn't go your way, no big deal. We'll have another neutral site game. But if you lose by 21, then why would you have one team who beat another team by 21? And that's why I don't think it's good to have to have Texas A&M in the playoff because they're probably going to play Bama again, and they're going to get their shit rocked. They already lost by
31. Do you think that if Cincy blows the doors off Tulsa, they can sneak in that situation? Cincy
might make the playoffs.
I think Cincy needs a lot of help, but that's what I was going to say next is, other than that, I don't think there's any important games because Louisiana, Coastal Carolina, winner might get a near six bowl. Other than that's not important. Neither team can sneak in. Neither team in Oklahoma, Iowa State's going to sneak in. If Northwestern wins, that shakes up the playoff completely, but I don't think they have much of a shot. And then it comes down to Tulsa, Cincy, where Cincy wins, they get a near six. If they lose, they probably still get a near six. And I don't think they can stay in the playoff unless something big happens.
And I think the way Cincy gets in is if Notre Dame beats Clemson, because that knocks Clemson out. Then I would say maybe Northwestern has to beat Ohio State.
All right, Daniel, hear me out. Hear me on this one. Northwestern meets Ohio State. Tennessee beats Texas A&M. Oklahoma beats Iowa State. Louisiana beats Coastal Carolina. Notre Dame beats Clemson. Florida beats Alabama. And Tulsa beats Cincinnati. Can IU get in the playoff?
No, if I wouldn't say that last one, because if Florida beats Alabama, then Florida probably gets in.
I think Florida lost any hope of that after losing to LSU. I think that loss is going to plummet them in the rankings because it's a bad loss by bad decision-making.
If Florida beats the perennial number one team in the nation, and they've been number one the entire time, I don't see how Florida doesn't get in.
I think it depends on how far they fall in the playoff ranking. They fell out of the top 10 in the AP poll, and I think it's going to be tough to jump from that spot in. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on where they fall in the AP ranking, because, I mean, again, the argument for Florida is if Florida beats Bama, why not give it to A&M? A&M beat Florida.
Yeah, I mean,
and A&M's five. A&M's going
to
be five.
A&M's going to be five and probably move up to four. That's why I think winner of the Notre Dame, if they're 2-3 right now, winners in, losers out. Unless it's a blowout. If it's a blowout one way or the other, then that team gets in, the other one doesn't.
I agree. I just have a really hard time believing that they would bump a Notre Dame out. Let's say Florida or Clemson wins 35-28. I just have a hard time believing they would even consider a team over Notre Dame who lost to a Trevor Lawrence Clemson team by touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I think Notre Dame probably moves to four. That moves Clemson, Ohio State to 2-3, and you move from there.
Yeah. All right, I think it's a good college football talk. I mean, we spent a lot of time arguing about some certain things. You want to do our sponsored segment and get into college basketball?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, before we start the college basketball segment, I just want to say, obviously, Ding and I might disagree in there, but it's no hard feelings. We have a difference of opinion, and no one is ever going to change my hatred of the Pac-12 because I just hate the Pac-12 with a passion.
But they're not fantastic this year, but we're gonna that's gonna be a debate for a while. So
yes, all right. So moving on to college basketball, I mean, honestly, it's still an unexciting time. The only game of the weekend I was excited for was gonna be West Virginia Richmond, and Richmond just kind of underperformed. Honestly,
I think Richmond was overranked because they beat a really bad Kentucky team.
I do too, but the thing I liked about this Richmond team wasn't that they beat Kentucky. It's that it's full of guys who've been playing together for a couple of years. It's mainly upperclassmen. They've just looked good on the court together up until that point. Obviously not 19 in the country. I just thought they'd look better than that.
They're going to be a tournament team, and they're going to be a dangerous tournament team.
Oh, they should. Let's see. What do you mean conference is Richmond in? They should win easily.
They are in – what conference are they in? Let me look.
I'm going to look it up real quick. So, I mean, I'm on there. And I guess I forgot they released the 2 out of 25 already, so I can't go from that.
I'm on it. Let me see.
Are they in the A-10?
They're
an A-10 team. Interesting. They're not going to win the A-10 that easily.
Who they have? They have
Brody, St. Bonaventure, Dayton, and VCU.
And Davidson, St. Louis is going to probably win the A-10, I would say.
A team that's always sneaky is, again, this is probably implicit bias because one of my best friends goes there. Saint Bonaventures are the Bonnies. It can be a little sneaky.
They're always a dangerous team, and Rhode Island's good. And I think
Yeah, I
Rhode
think the
Island's played a
A10.
Rhode Island's lost four games this year to Arizona State, Boston College, Wisconsin, and kind of close, and then they lost to a good Western Kentucky team.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky's dangerous this year.
They are. We'll get into that in a second. I just want to make a comment about the A10 versus the A10 is grossly underrated. A lot of these teams are average teams who can make runs in tournaments. They're not going to be powerhouse who go to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. But I mean, for teams, I look here and go, this team could run to the Sweet 16.
I think the A10 always sends 2 to 3 teams to the tournament, which is saying a lot for a non like
Are
big.
you ready to call? Here's the question. Because, I mean, again, in football, if you were to argue the best non-Power 5 over the last 10 years, you'd probably go the American. Are you ready to say that they're probably the best non-Power 5 team in basketball, or do you still get to the Big East?
I mean
They're.
the Big East is obviously better. The Big East is it's not a Power Five in
It should
basketball.
be,
It's a Power
but.
Six, and it's not even close. You can't say that a conference with two national championships in Villanova is
Well,
worse.
yeah. I mean, obviously, making an exaggeration to make a point, but I mean, besides for Villanova and Creighton, they haven't. I mean, Creighton looked horrible last night. I'll say that much. And they lost
Butler.
to Marquette. Butler, I mean, think again, Butler's looked good. They just obviously haven't been the same team since Brad Stevens left.
They've made it to the tournament. They've made still a lot of runs. I'm not saying that they're
Oh,
great,
no.
but I'm not saying
Honestly,
they're bad.
oh, no. I'm not disparaging Butler. I just mean, again, it's kind of the same point we were making earlier, the other sport, college football is. The Butler's still a very good team. It's just not the same team as Brad Stevens. Because quite honestly, Brad Stevens is one of the better, will go down as one of the better basketball minds we've ever seen.
I mean,
I
okay.
don't know if I'd call him the, I don't know if I'd call him one of the better coaches, but his mind for basketball is incredible.
If I'm looking at the teams, the Big East, and stop, I'm gonna name every single team. Stop me if they're bad at basketball, okay? And not
So
I'm
I'm
talking
looking
about.
at two. So here's the thing is I'm just gonna stop you because you don't need to listen. I'm also staring at the Big East.
No, I know it, but okay. But just tell me, DePaul is normally pretty good at basketball. Villanova is pretty good at basketball. Seton Hall is good at basketball. Butler is, Xavier is, Marquette is, UConn is, Georgetown is, Providence kind of is. Creighton is and
Utah.
St.
So
John's is.
here's the thing is UConn, Georgetown, Providence, and St. John's. Earl, okay. I don't know if I'd call. I don't know. Again, UConn has a great history. Again, I just don't know if I'd call them good this year. They've only played three games. I have to say, Georgetown, I've watched play a couple times this year because I've had money on them a couple times this year, and they're okay. I think they're going to be a little worse than usual, just because I think that obviously Marquette's going to kill them. Noah's going to kill them. And they still have to play. They have a random non-conference game with Syracuse next month, which makes no sense. And I think that's going to cause them trouble.
But outside of the Big Six, which is the ACC,
Yeah.
the Big 12, the Big 10,
So that's kind of
the
my
SEC, the
mistake.
Pac-12, and the Big East, I would say the best conference is either the A-10 or the West Coast Conference. So with Gonzaga and St. Mary's and San Francisco and BYU, I think that's a pretty damn good conference.
That's a good one too. I just think I'm starting to turn my tune on San Francisco. I think that we're going to end up seeing a bad team who had a good early season.
But again, they've beaten who have they lost?
They beat Virginia.
They beat Virginia, but they also lost to Massachusetts Lowell. They lost to Rhode Island, and they lost to Cal. And Cal's not that great at basketball.
Cal's
So
a bad loss. Cal's a bad loss.
Cal's a
But I
very bad
mean,
loss.
their other two wins are Cal Poly and Long Beach State. Sorry, in Nevada. Those aren't good wins by any
I
means.
mean, I have a friend on the Nevada team, so
Okay, I'll. Yeah, but, okay, so again, I'm a California resident. Cal Poly SLO is not an athletic school. Neither is Long Beach State.
They're
Those just
not.
aren't.
They really
Athletic
aren't.
schools. So that's where I think the trouble is. And I think that's going to be the same thing with everyone in the WAC, or sorry, WCC, besides for Gonzaga. It's going to be what are you really? Because the problem is, If you look at a team like St. Mary's, I think they've had a couple cancellations too. And these out of conference games are important. Are they played a weak schedule? Yeah, like that's going to be their biggest problem is they lost to Memphis, they beat Northern Iowa, they beat South Dakota State, they beat Nicholls, Texas Southern, U and UTEP. Those aren't good wins. So it's hard for me to judge what this team is until they play someone else. And the problem is the next team they're going to play is Gonzaga. And honestly, they're going to get killed by Gonzaga.
Okay, so are we on the same page that the this is a little bit change the subject. Are we on the same page that the ACC is overrated this year?
Far and away, yes. I would say I don't know if I would call the whole conference overrated yet. I don't like throwing that tag on FSU and I don't like including FSU and UVA in that tag yet. I still think those are going to be
They
very
have
good
six
teams.
teams in the top 25.
Oh yeah, as a top, here's the answer. I just do. I would say if we take out FSU and UVA, I agree. I just don't want to put that tag on the two of them. So I think they're the two who are actually legit. I think Duke is when UNC are way overrated this year, though. If you want to get like that.
I think Clemson's, I don't know why Clemson's top 25. They shouldn't be.
It's because the problem is it's such early season, they'll put anyone top 25, man.
Yeah, well, I think by the time it gets to January, February, we're going to get a good view about who's good and
Yeah,
who's not.
we just need to survive the kind of next like 3 weeks, and then we'll start getting real rankings. But yeah, again, the only reason I'm not saying that is I just don't want to put that tag on UVA and FSU because I think they're the two that are actually legit in that conference. So I just don't want to ever say them in this sentence as
I
overrated.
mean, just because the entire conference is overrated doesn't mean that specific teams are
I
not.
know, it's just I just don't like playing with the two teams that are. I just feel bad putting the two teams that are good in there because FSU might have had a chance to win the national, might have had a very good chance to win the national title last year.
That is actually true. I think they would have. I think their last year is a different year than this year, though.
Actually, technically, they are the national champions. They did declare themselves national champions.
Florida State did.
Yeah, that's actually a funny story if you didn't know about that. They said they're the national champions.
I mean, I guess that makes IU national champions too.
I agree. So then, if we're going to talk about overrated, can we talk about Kentucky and the SEC? Now, that is overrated at its finest.
The SEC doesn't have any good teams.
Kentucky is 1-4 on the year. They've lost to Kansas. Okay, that's a good loss. They lost to Richmond. They've lost to Georgia Tech, and they've lost to Notre Dame. And then they canceled their game against Detroit Mercy for God knows why they'd pass that. I know he doesn't want to play any. I don't know why they'd cancel that game unless it's for COVID. I know Coach K got a little scared and canceled the rest of his non-conference games.
But the again, the some of the big boys aren't necessarily big boys anymore.
Kentucky is one of them, I think.
Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. North Carolina got their ass handed to them by Iowa.
No, I mean, I'll talk about Iowa in a minute because I love Iowa. I think Roy Williams just kind of is a relic and kind of needs to retire. I think he's a great coach, but I think he just passed his time. I think it's time for him to retire.
He's still getting national championship games, and he's had great teams. So I'm not gonna say that yet, but I think he
But here's
has
the
that
thing is,
contract where he can be there for as long as he wants.
the only reason I'm not going to call I getting beat them by Iowa about losses, this Iowa team is going to could end up having a historic offense. I don't care who you're playing, they put up 106 points and doubled Northern Illinois score.
The
I
lowest.
know Northern Illinois sucks, but 106 points. Jesus.
They doubled up 53. They doubled up
Yeah,
what NIU
they
scored.
doubled up NIU score. And the game before that, they scored 105 against Iowa State. Yeah, sure, they haven't played the best competition. I don't care. If you're scoring over 90 a game, it doesn't matter who you're playing. That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
Luka Garza is averaging 29.2 points a game. And the team as a whole is averaging 100. This is absurdity at its finest in Iowa, and I'm loving every second of
We
it.
will see if it keeps up in conference play because conference play is starting to get here
The
soon.
they play well. No, we'll see if it keeps up on Saturday. They're playing Gonzaga on Saturday.
Ooh, I mean that's I think that's gonna be a I would put the over at that game of like 180.
I would put like 300. These teams play no defense and just score at will. It's going to be fantastic basketball to
I would
watch.
probably say the over under is probably be like 160, 155. That sounds fair.
Conservative, but that's where most college overs will peak around there. It doesn't matter who it is,
Yeah,
it's
most
just a
college
lot of
overs like
points.
140, 135. So
Other than that, I just don't think there's a lot to report in college basketball. It's still so early that there's nothing really interesting
Nope,
happening.
but there's some stuff in football, in NFL football.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, I just want to say, I'm looking at the schedule. One other game I'm excited to watch, but I don't know if it will happen before our next recording, is Kansas Texas Tech on Friday, Thursday.
That could be a pretty good game.
I think it'll be good. I think we'll be able to see what these teams really are. And then we have a delayed ACC Big Ten Challenge game on Saturday, but we'll preview that on our next episode.
All right. So, looking at the week 14 NFL action, what are your hot takes?
My hot takes are the Bears should never bench Mitchell Trubisky.
They're by far in a way better with him than Nick Foles. It's not even close.
They were 5-1 when they benched him. They're now 6-7. They should never have benched him.
They lost to the Rams, Saints, Titans, Vikings, Packers, and Lions all before beating the Texans. I know a lot of, and I'm friends with a lot of Bears fans. They were so
So am I.
happy. And
Here's the thing is, the Rams is an okay loss. The Saints, yeah, you should lose that game. It's the Saints. But no, that was it. Was that Taysom Hill game? No, it was a Drew Brees
that was a
game.
Drew Brees game.
The Titans is a tough loss. They should have held Henry anymore, but the Vikings is a game you have to win.
Vikings and Lions are games you have to win, so they should be 8-5. They should be 8-5.
I agree. And then my other hot take is I've been too hard on the NFC beast. This is going to end up being one of the more, this is probably going to end up being the most exciting playoff race, to be quite honest with
Because
you.
every team can still win.
The NFC beast. Honestly, the football team's good. I don't. They're going to score 7 points a game on offense and 21 on defense. It doesn't matter. This team is good.
I mean, the Eagles still have a chance too. The what with 3 games left, if Washington's probably going to lose against the Seahawks. I think that's going to be a good game.
Here's the thing is, I don't think the Washington against the Seahawks is as sure of a loss as it was 3 weeks ago. Chase Young and this defense look scary good. Like scary, scary
So
good.
I am in the I'm in my fantasy football semifinals right now. And I'm playing a guy who's projected to have 145 points. And I'm projected to have 109 right now. But he has Russell Wilson starting right now, and I have DK Metcalf. I actually just benched DK Metcalf for somebody else because if
Hey,
I think
sorry,
that
my f feed got.
do you want to see if we can reconnect it real
No,
quick?
I'm back in. I lost you
Okay.
after you said you're going to your fantasy football semifinals.
Yeah, so I'm on my fantasy football semifinals and I'm playing a guy with who's projected to have 145 points and it has Russell Wilson and I have DK Metcalf. So I actually just benched DK Metcalf at first for somebody else because I'm thinking that Russell Wilson won't have a great game. And if Russell doesn't have a great game, that means that DK doesn't either. And it's gonna be very
I'm in my
interesting.
semifinals also, and I'm tempted to bench Lockett. The problem is on my bench, I just don't have much. Like, this is gonna be our fantasy football minute, but I have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's had a horrible year. I have Hollywood Brown, who's in a drop machine lately. I have Higgins, who doesn't have a quarterback, and I have Corey Davis, who looks like the number four option on Sunday.
I mean, yeah, because everybody talks. I mean, everybody talks about the Titans, and all they do is talk about the run game. But they have great wide
Oh, they're
receivers. They
fantastic receivers.
are. They're the Titans still have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't see why they don't.
So I want to bring this up for a minute about the NFC Beast. So I was talking to my dad about this, and I have this in my notes. On October 30th, I made predictions for what I thought the NFC Beast's records were going to be going into week 16. I'm going to be horribly, horribly wrong.
I mean, the entire NFC East kind of caught fire lately.
The only team I have a chance to be right on is the Cowboys. I could be right on the Cowboys and the Eagles still. The football team would probably be way off on.
Washington could end the year above
They
500
could
or at
easily.
least 500.
Now, the other thing that was interesting this weekend, before we even dive in where it is, the Seahawks just showed no mercy to the Jets, man. They showed no mercy. Russell Wilson said, "Fuck you! I want to pad my stack on. We're gonna blow you out of the water."
As they should, because if the Jets are the worst team in the league and they're tanking, I feel like if I'm the Seahawks, I would be like, okay, let's goddamn tank, like let them.
Yeah, and then I mean, let's see. The other interest there's other than that, there weren't that many interesting games in the early slate. You had the Cowboys beat the shit out of the Bengals. You know, the Texans get killed by the Bears. The Dolphins Chiefs game was entertaining for about a quarter, and then Patrick Mahomes started playing football, and then it just became the Chiefs show.
Yeah.
The
The
Cardinals,
Dolphins came back,
yeah, the
but
Dolphins
yeah.
came back, but it was too little too late. That's the thing. That's why I don't think it was that interesting. The Cardinals beat the hell out of the Giants. Dan Bailey is the worst NFL kicker of all time, and I will never forgive him for costing me my parlay.
Oof. Against
Plus,
what
I would
team
have
is he
won
on?
on the Vikings. I had the Vikings
Oh,
plus
yeah.
seven. I would have won $600 if he didn't miss three field goals.
Yep, that'll do
Yeah,
it.
so I'll never forgive him. Broncos Panthers is just a horrible team, so it wasn't entertaining. Tight ends did the tight end things and dominated the Jags with the run game.
And then the best NFL game of the season.
What's your best NFL game of the season?
Ravens
Oh,
Browns.
I was going to get through, before we even got to that, I was going to talk about the Eagles.
I
The
mean,
Eagles Saints and the
J
Packers Lions games are actually pretty interesting.
I mean, oh, the most interesting part about that is Jalen Hurts is probably going to be an NFL quarterback now.
Carson Wentz is about to become a new team somewhere.
I think he's going to get traded. I think you got to trade him to maybe Jacksonville or something who needs a
Nah,
quarterback and has cap space.
Jacksonville's gonna take Fields with number two overall.
Probably.
They're not gonna want to spend that on him. He's probably gonna go to somewhere like the Patriots. I
I can
think
see
that's
that.
it because the Patriots have cap space. The Patriots have a need for a quarterback. I think that's the best fit. But I mean, overall, I think that game was just entertaining. And then I like the Sunday night game, you know? The Bills and the Steelers had a nice back and forth game for a while.
I didn't watch that, but I all I can really say is that the Steelers either clinched the playoffs or and are kind of like resting and they don't really care about having the one seed because they probably won't have it anymore, or they're overrated.
I think that they're, I wouldn't say as goes for say overrated. I would just say is they finally faced a good team. The problem is, if you look at their schedule, Giants, they were horrible in week one. Broncos aren't good. Texans aren't good this year. Eagles aren't good this year. Browns was a good win now, but that was before Baker became what he is now. Beating
Yeah.
the Titans is a good win. Ravens are good this year, so that's a good win. But Cowboys, Bengals, and Jaguars, again, horrible wins. So other than that, they haven't really had much competition. And then they played the Redskins, or sorry, the football team, who just had a great defensive game and got a good stop when they needed to. And then they played Josh Allen, who probably had, honestly, this year, stat-wise, he might be the best quarterback they faced all year. Allen's having an incredible year.
I mean, I have him as my starter. I also benched Josh Allen because he's playing Denver this week. I don't think he's gonna have that great of a week.
Not Denver sucks. I'm starting him. But yeah, then last night's game, here's my condolences if you had the Browns my plus three, Daniel, plus four or plus four and a half. My condolences, you did not deserve that.
It's fine. That actually happens more than you would expect.
But not
The
in
safety is
that,
on the hook
just
and laterals.
not in that caliber of bad. Like, that was just bad, bad.
That's just it was whatever. It's no big
I think they
deal.
went forward once in the hook and ladder. Like, they never even tried to go forward.
I don't
Other than that, I mean, Lamar and Baker
even
in a
know.
shootout was pretty entertaining to watch.
That reminded me a lot of Mahomes and Goff a few years ago.
Yeah, not as exciting because it was scores were only in the 40s. That game was in like the 60s. That was hilarious, entertaining.
I still watch highlights of that game.
Yeah, that was the game that you learned. That Mahomes is real and the Chiefs defenses were bad that year.
Yeah, but then they still had a pretty damn good year.
Oh yeah.
But that was the year that the Rams made it to the Super Bowl, right?
Yes. But looking
Yes.
ahead, so week 14 in the books, there's some big games in the playoff race coming up, and the playoff race is coming down the wire. Bills can clinch the AFC East this weekend. They're up,
That's huge.
which would be huge. Their Dolphins are playing the Patriots, and the Bills are playing the Broncos. So I think a win for the Bills and a loss for the Dolphins would lock it up. So that'd be two to play, a 3-game lead. Let's see. Then you got in the wild card. I mean, other than that, divisions aren't that exciting. Pittsburgh's cruising. The Tennessee Titans, all they have to do is win. They already have the tiebreaker over the Colts.
I
Or no,
think
they don't. The
Browns
Colts
Giants.
won one game. I forgot.
Yeah, that's. I think the Colts are gonna make the playoffs.
Colts are going to make the playoffs. It's a question of who's going to win the NFC South, AFC South. Like, if you look at it in the wild card or just the playoff race, the Colts are sitting pretty up a game right now. But they're in a
I'm
three-way
trying to think.
tie with the Browns for that wild card.
I'm surprised that Bengals Steelers is a Monday night game.
And nothing to really flex with Monday night. You don't do too much flexing with Monday night, so it doesn't surprise me. Leave it in there. I mean, but if you look at
Browns Giants Sunday night football could easily be a good game.
and that's a huge game for the thing is that's a huge game for the playoffs no matter what. Browns are tied in for the wild card and have a one game lead right now. And that's why Dolphins Patriots is huge, is Dolphins have a tiebreaker over the Ravens, which gets them that seventh spot in right now, so that every win matters.
And I think the Giants, it's a must win for them because if they lose, they're basically out of the playoffs.
Eagles play the Cardinals, they're gonna lose.
Yeah, I would say,
There's a
yeah.
good chance that all three teams in the NFC Beast lose this weekend, and that's okay because that would put them on equal footing.
I guess. Let's see. Are there any big upsets? I think that the Bears are dogs against the Vikings. I think the Bears beat the Vikings.
I think the big upset is going. Okay, here's the thing. We're gonna make a realistic one, and then I'm gonna make the ballsy one. I think the realistic one is going to be the Panthers over the Packers. And that's a caveat that has an asterisk next to it that says if Christian McCaffrey plays.
Yes.
And then
And so I would bet that now.
the ballsy pick, the Jaguars are going to upset the Ravens.
Okay, that's not
I
happening,
think, no,
but I
here's the
love
thing is
yeah.
the Ravens, that's why it's called the ballsy pick. I think the Ravens are going to start off really, really slow. And that's when James Robinson is going to lead this offense and surprise them to a big early lead, because they're going to come off the excitement of the Monday night game with big hopes, and it's just going to be kind of like a little letdown.
I think my ballsy pick is Falcons over the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's too easy of a pick for me. Too obvious. The Falcons have the Falcons could win that game like 80-4, like 80-86. They're going to be a shootout
don't
because the Falcons have no defense. And they're just going to throw Hail Marys to Calvin Ridley all game.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's why I love Falcons football. I mean, other than that, it's just going to cut down to the wire. So, Daniel, here's my question for you. I want to segue into a little playoff talk. We're going to look at some
Okay.
of the tight races here to end it and talk about who you think is going to edge out in the tight races here. So, the first
Okay.
one we're going to look at is division titles. AFC South. Colts or Titans? Tied right now. Titans have the Lions, the Packers, and the Texans left, while the Colts have the Texans, the Steelers, and the Jaguars left. Who wins that division?
I'm going to say that the Titans win the division.
Interesting. That's funny because I was about to go the opposite way. Colts will win that division at 11-5.
I think let's see who do the Titans have left?
Titans have the Texans, the Packers, and the Lions this weekend. The Colts have the
I
Jaguars and the
think
Texans and then the Steelers. Texans is a cakewalk win. The Colts always crush the Texans, especially T.Y. Hilton.
let's see. I think Titans beat the Lions. That Sunday night game, Titans and Packers, is going to be a great
I
game.
think the Lions are going to surprise the Titans this weekend if they're healthy and upset them.
No, that's
The
not.
Lions are sneaky.
No, that's not happening. I'm sorry.
I just think it depends if they're healthy. If they get their players back, if Swift can play, if their other wide receivers can play, they have a chance.
And then the Colts have the Texans. they're going to probably win that game. I think that's going to be close. Steelers is going to be a loss, and Jaguars is a win. So 11-5, I guess that could be the Colts.
I think it comes down to tiebreakers in that scenario, which I don't know who has, because they split.
Colts have the tiebreaker.
Colts do have. I know they're split 1-1 and head-to-head.
Yeah, but it's about who's most recent.
Interesting.
So I think, yeah, I think you might be right that the Colts come out of there, because the game that's going to decide that entire division is Colts Steelers. Going to be Titans. I was going to say that, well, I guess that week 16 where it's
Titans, Packers, Colts, Steelers.
Yeah, two really good games in the AFC South.
All right, and then let's see the next good race. We'll talk about, we'll go the NFC Beast next.
You gotta go. Let's see. The Giants are gonna lose this week against the
football team are in control of their destiny. They just have to win out.
I think the football team ends up in that.
I agree. I don't think it'll be much of a question. I think the Giants, especially with how Daniel Jones, are fucked.
I don't think this is that big of a discussion. I think. I just don't see any other team coming out of that other than the Washington football team.
The Washington football team just need to beat the Panthers and the Eagles, and they'll control their own destiny. They just can't have a sloppy game against the Panthers, and they got it.
Okay, AFC North, Steelers or Browns?
Oh, Steelers. I was usually in for games that are tied or one game apart. Browns are screwed. Steelers are going to cruise walk.
Okay, well, Browns have Giants, Jets, and Steelers. The Steelers have Steelers the
play
Colts.
Steelers play the Bengals this weekend, and that locks it up.
Does that lock it up?
Well, they already have the head-to-head, so they already beat them once head-to-head, yeah.
No. Ooh, maybe not. That might not completely lock it up, because the last game of the season is Browns and the Steelers. So I'm just saying that the Browns, if they win out and the Steelers lose against the Colts, then that comes down to the last game of the season for the AFC North.
I think the Steelers are much better. I don't think there's much discussion there. The next division I want to look at, though, is your NFC West. Seahawks and Rams are tied going into week 14.
I think Rams are the better team.
See, I think Seahawks are the better team, but I think the Rams might advance because they had the free win of the Jets.
Wow. They got Jets. They have Jets, Seahawks, Cardinals, and the Seahawks have the
football team. Cardinals, Rams. Jeez. Or, sorry, 49ers, not Cardinals.
But
the Rams are in a bye week this week. That's the thing. The Rams are in bye.
We will have to see, but. Oh, overall, I think those are all the biggest races of the week, I would definitely say.
And I think, I agree. The wild cards were really interesting now. So right now, you have the Dolphins up ahead of the Rams for the wild card, last wild card in the AFC by a tiebreaker. And then you have the Colts and the Browns up a game on them. And then the NFC, you have the Arizona Cardinals sitting pretty up a game on the Vikings and the Bears.
It's going to be
that seventh wild card has made the season a lot more interesting. I can tell you that much.
I think the Ravens are going to end up in the playoffs at that seventh spot playing the, what is it? They're going to be playing the Steelers.
No, Steelers get the bye.
No, because Steelers are two right now. Chiefs.
Oh yeah. Chiefs are one. I forgot. Chiefs have the bye.
So I think Ravens take that spot, and then seven, you got to give it to the Cardinals. I don't see any way the Vikings or Bears come in and end up taking that spot. There's no way.
I don't know. Here's the thing is, it all depends on who wins that Bears-Vikings game this weekend. The Vikings have the offense and have a chance to sort of sneak into that last wild card spot, I think.
We will have to see. I don't know.
What the hell? Sorry. Just looking at it, I forgot they do this. So, I was looking at the Cardinals schedule for that prediction, and the Cardinals are playing a Saturday night game on week 16, one of the three. Guess who's broadcasting it?
What?
Guess who's broadcasting the Cardinals 49ers game on Saturday, December 26th?
Who?
Amazon.
Oh, on Amazon Prime? Yeah.
I forgot they do that and it caught me off guard, and it was very jarring to see.
That actually is kind of weird.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. We just got some breaking news that Keontae Johnson is alive and well, and he's talking again.
Oh, thank God.
That was scary. I'm happy he's okay. I'm happy he's out of his coma. He is apparently talking and FaceTime with teammates. And
we won't know what happened to him because that's just HIPAA stuff. But
oh, there was reports he had COVID over the summer, and they think it's related to that.
It might be, but
we won't know for sure. But that's just the reports.
I think if that happens and it's proved that that is COVID, then if that happens with one of the best NBA prospects, we might see the basketball season get canceled.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, the reason people are linking it to COVID is a large majority of the players for Florida had COVID over the summer. Which, I mean, I'm sorry, Florida. It's not surprising, but you're in the state of Florida. Come on.
Okay, that's not that's not great to say. I think we have to care about the players too.
No. I'm saying I'm putting that blame on the state of Florida for being a trashal who doesn't do anything right.
We will have to see. I don't know. I think in the coming weeks we might see the college basketball season get canceled.
It can't get canceled. The NCAA won't recover if it's canceled. The NBA. No, that's like a really good thing to know. The NCAA can't afford to lose another March Madness.
Yeah, that is true. But as long as they have the college football playoff, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, they'll be okay. But March Madness brings in way too much TV revenue, and we will see the death of a lot of small sports if the basketball season gets canceled. It's same thing with football. You can't not have these programs happen. You can't not have these games happen because those teams, these schools need that money. I just wrote a paper on for my classes. There were around 11 or 12 teams that have permanently canceled certain D1 sports because of COVID and the funding they lost.
Oh, damn.
College basketball and college football are the only two sports that actually make money for college athletics. So if you cancel March Madness again, you are out potentially billions for over the 2 years of TV revenue.
And that screws over a lot of current high school players, like in like lower sports, not football and basketball.
The sports that are getting hit the hardest are sports that, well, it's just, I mean, I can say this objectively because we played it. No one gives a shit about, like, tennis.
Yes, basically.
Those are the ones. It's tennis, golf, the swimming-based sports, so like diving, swimming, water polo, things like that, wrestling, gymnastics got canceled a couple places. Things like that are what are getting crushed right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this develops in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but at least Keontae Johnson's alive and well.
All right, but as we end up this episode, any last words?
Yeah, if you bet on the Browns, I'm sorry. If you're on the Browns, I'm really, really sorry.
Oh, whatever. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to the Tuesday episode of the Drop Deuce Podcast, and we will see you guys on Thursday.